All right. It's been a while, Chris.
We kept
passing. We were like two ships in the night.
It has.
You know, but you guys have done a great job of like making sure there was podcasts. Even though I was gone for a bit.
Well, you were gone for reasons.
I was doing great travels.
It looked awesome. Yeah. I could tell you this because we're friends. I was, you guys were posting stuff and I was like, man, that must be so cool to be there. You know, like you've been to farms before, right? Like you were one of the few that were like really experienced.
Yeah, I got
have
to go
gone.
To Nicaragua and the DR a couple times.
But it just looked cool, man. You guys look like it was a good bonding experience
too. We want to plan another one with like different groups because it's, you know, it's something like everyone should experience. Mostly for like TDG's factory in the DR. Yeah. And I think definitely the content team would be a part of that. But yeah, we got to go to Honduras for 5 days with the team from Camacho. We were there with Jack Heyer, who's like their brand manager spokesperson. He's a legend.
Does he live there?
He lives in Florida.
Florida, yeah. Okay.
Jack used to work for Cigar Dojo, used to work for Alec Bradley. And then I think he worked for Drew Estate because he worked for Joe Groh at Drew Estate for a while. And now he's big man with Camacho. Jack is, I'm going to have him on at some point.
Yeah.
He's a dude. This guy never let the party die for like 5 straight days. He was always in. And you know me, I don't drink a lot.
Yeah.
So when someone's like drinking or like partying, I get uncomfortable. He made sure everybody was comfortable. Everyone was having a good time the entire time. He was always like fist bumping.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, dude, it was unreal. We get there. We stay one night in Miami. Then we fly down the next morning. The only crappy part is the travel because it's like a pain in the ass to get any of these
places.
You
were saying, yeah.
We had a fly to Miami, say overnight in Miami. It was like 2-hour flight down there, then 2.5-hour flight the next morning. And then it was a 4-hour drive. But luckily, they added a day to the trip than they normally do for Camp Camacho. So Monday, our only thing was just getting to the... There was nothing else scheduled for that day. So
gotcha.
We had all day.
Nice.
So we stopped to go to the bathroom a few times and everything. Then we got there and there was a nice dinner, hanging out. A lot of the guys, not knowing how to pace themselves, a lot of guys went hard night one.
Ooh.
And I'm like, if you think about what our agenda is and what our plans are, night two is the night.
Yeah.
Because... Day two, like during the day, it was 95 degrees every day. And day two was the fields. So we were just out in the open. So I'm like, you're out of your mind to think like that to go hard night one.
Yeah.
Then night two, you go hard. Then day three, you're in the factory. It's like air conditioned. It's nice. And then we went out for like a nice lunch after that. And like just kind of drove around town on day three. So you have all day three to recover. Then day four, you have a moderately nice time. Let's see, day four was Thursday. But then there's the 4-hour drive back to Tegucigalpa, the capital. And then we stayed in a really nice hotel Thursday night. And then Friday just sucked. Like the entire trip, as good as the trip was, the shitty travel on Friday. Because then it was 2-hour drive in the morning to the Honduran airport. And then 2.5-hour flight. And then a 3-hour layover. Then we were delayed 1.5 hours coming out of Miami. Miami is the worst airport I've ever been to in the history of the world. Everything about the Miami airport sucks. It absolutely sucks.
I don't think I've ever
listened to this. It was the worst. My normal airport of departure is Newark. All right, I know a crappy air. Newark was great. We flew out of the new A terminal. Fantastic.
Nice.
Even the bathrooms in Miami, like. This is a major airport.
Yeah.
When you go to the bathroom in Miami Airport, it's like two stalls. And there's like a line out. Yeah, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever flown out or flown in or out. I mean, flying in wouldn't have been, but flying out, I've never, and it's...
Absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we did a field tour. It's beautiful to see. I mean, the landscape, everyone was super
nice. The weather
nice.
Was good?
Yeah, it was hot.
It was hot.
But it was. I thought it was going to be more like Florida hot. It was actually more like Texas hot. When you were out of the sun.
Dry.
Yeah, when you were out of the sun, you were actually like fairly comfortable.
Okay, nice.
So Tuesday we did the fields, and then they took us to... Now, I have to say, we took us to like a park, and then they had like a gazebo, and then these guys made these like this awesome lunch for us. And then some of the guys, they had ATVs. They did like ATV.
Nice.
But this park, what I can only describe it as a, I think it's a sex park. I think it's for romance.
Okay.
Because it's overlooking like this ledge. It like looks over the mountain. So it's beautiful. And yeah. On the ledge, like right by the ledge, they have like this giant heart you can like take pictures in.
Okay.
And then there's like these bungalow apartments that are raised. You take a ladder up to them. And in the bungalow apartment is like a, it's like air conditioned with a bathroom and a bed. And there's like six of them. And they're all painted. I'll show you some pictures. They're all painted with like lions and tigers and panther, like all these crazy paintings. I wonder
if it's where Greg went back in.
He might have, but it's literally, it's just
the heart. What, when you're saying the heart, it's bringing back memories of me seeing footage of that. Does it have a sign that says Honduras or?
I don't remember.
All right.
But I feel like this is a place for like, you take your girlfriend and you have like a romantic, it was beautiful. It had like a back in the 50s there.
Where they would, you know, yeah. Park on looking over.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah. Not, and then like all the rooms were air conditioned. We nice. Like used the bathrooms and one, it was like a nice little setup.
Nice.
But I'm pretty sure like you take your girlfriend, have a romantic thing, you know, do pictures by the heart. And then I'm like 80% sure it was used for that. For sexy, so that was cool.
For sexy goose time, as you would say.
And then Tuesday night, and then after the park lunch, we came back. Then we had a blending thing. So they basically brought out these trays of tobaccos that were like rolled into like, you know, test blends and whatever. And then everyone smoked them. You wrote down notes. You tried all these different tobaccos, and then you have a list there. And then after you try them all, you make your blend. So you put this much of this, this much of this, this much of this, and then it gives you like binder and wrapper options. And then the next day on the factory tour, they presented us. We each got our own box with our blend and like a sticker in the box with our name on it. So what we're smoking right now is the blend I made. I haven't even tried it yet because I wanted it to sit for a little bit. So mine is 45% Piloto Cubano, 10% Criollo 98, 45% Condega filler, and then a Corojo binder, and then a San Andreas wrapper.
Was this your first time blending a cigar?
Mm-hmm.
Never so how was the experience?
It was cool. I will say, though, you know, it does show you how, what's the word I'm looking for? Not personal, but I guess objective it is, because we would all try something, and then George, who was like kind of running the seminar, is like, hey, for this one, like it's going to be like a little more on the sweeter side. And then like half of us would be like, yeah, it's definitely sweeter than the last one. But then someone like, you know, Jim or Andy would be like, oh, actually, I'm getting like a lot of spice, or I'm getting like an earthy flavor. So everyone's kind of perception was different, which is why I always say there's no such thing as a bad cigar.
Yeah.
Because like some people literally taste differently. So yes. There's, you know, you have different taste buds. You're going to pick up different notes, different aromas. Some people, you know, retrohale differently, retrohale more, and it affects the flavor differently. So, like, I found the Criollo 98 to be like really spicy, and a lot of people did. But then one of the guys on our team did like most of his filler Criollo 98 because he found it to be mild. So it's just,
wow, okay.
Yeah, it's just everyone is objectively different. I think this is tasty. I'm getting a little bit of a tight draw, but again, these were freshly rolled like the next day.
Wow.
And then they've been sitting for like a little bit. I had a Boveda pack in there, but it does feel like it's a little hard on the back. So this is like a, you know, and also I think while they were blending them, I don't know if they stuck 100% to the list, because sometimes if somebody put you know, crazy things on there, like this is not going to be smokable.
Yeah, yeah.
So they probably adjusted it slightly to make it more palpable. But their factory, their operation, I mean, I'm going to write a whole article for the magazine about it, was just outstanding. Everyone was so nice. The factory was spotless. They're building a whole new facility just for aging. They want to get their aging cadence up so that they have like 5 years worth of full inventory on everything so they can produce.
How big was the camp? Like in itself.
Oh, like the building we stayed in?
Or was it?
It was like,
yeah. So was the camp near the factory?
It was right. It was literally, it was separated by a fence.
So you could walk right.
Yeah, we walked
right
just around a fence. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, I guess how big is the property itself?
I mean, where we stayed was beautiful. It was two floors. It had all this nice outdoor furniture, like a fire pit, and then you walk in. There's like a full bar and all this nice seating, a long like table. And then everyone, except for only two people, had a share room, but everyone got their own room, like really nice room. Nice. Yeah, real, like, you know, brand new linens, like, you know, never been slept in before. Everyone, we wanted to steal the pillows. The pillows were super comfortable. And then a few things that they added for this trip. Hold on, I just want to make sure there's nothing going on. They hired a barista to come in every morning. And so I was, I'm an early riser. I was getting up at like 6:30, go out my laptop, try to get some work done. Yeah. You know, we were a couple hours behind. And I was just down in cappuccinos, like looking at like the sunrise, smoking like a Camacho Connecticut. It was just unreal. Night two after the field, they took us to, it's like a restaurant that on the weekends turns into like a club, but they shut it down. It was just for us. And then they brought in a DJ. We ate a lot. That was when me and the war dog won. So I did two shots of tequila in the beginning, and I'm like, all right, I'm done drinking now. I just want to hang out. And then dog comes up to me with two Coronas. He's like, no, like we're family tonight.
Nice.
And then we were just drinking Coronas. I did karaoke, you know.
Wow. Oh, yeah, okay.
It was a whole thing.
What was your song of choice?
I did Sweet Caroline.
Oh.
And then the dog did Party in the USA.
Okay.
But then he added Honduras instead of the USA. I have a great video on it.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Dog did really good. And then they have this dish. I can't remember how to pronounce it. I have to Google it again. It's like a bean and meat dip, I guess, but it comes in this clay pot, almost like a fondue, where there's the bowl on top with the bean dip, and there's like some chips in it, and then there's chips on like the little dish on the outside. Then there's a chamber underneath with like hot coals or like burning cedar or something. So it's cooking it while as you're eating it, it's like bubbling. And I had beans at every meal and I was not ashamed. They do beans down there, like breakfast beans with nice fried plantains. The food was phenomenal. And then Wednesday we did the factory, and then they took us for lunch at a really great restaurant in Dan Lee, which is the city. Again, I had the beans.
Nice.
And then they, instead of going back, cause we were only like 10 minutes from the camp, instead of going back on the bus, they took like this like trolley train and like drove us around Dan Lee. We went to Oscar Valadares, has a coffee shop. We went to his coffee shop.
Nice.
Yeah. I bought some coffee for my dad. And then we went back, and then we hung out for like a little bit, and then they had like a big, like going away dinner, like all this like steak and pork and everything. That's when the tattoo artist showed up. Tony Tattoo. Shout out to Tony Tattoo on Instagram. Follow, does amazing work. And then they brought in a mariachi band played for us. So yeah. Let's see, who got tattoos? I got one, War Dog got one, Jack got one, Jim got one, and Andy got one. So five of us got tattoos.
Nice.
This guy was great. He brought in his own chair. He had his assistant, who I actually think was also his wife. He had his own light, brand new needles, like, you know, top of the line. And he was a professional guy.
Did you expect any of this, like, going down?
There
like,
was jokes there about the tattoo, because the last time they did a Camp Camacho, they went with Dojo, and there was a whole, like, thing on Jack got a scorpion tramp stamp.
Oh, God.
But that guy that did that one was apparently, like, a little sketch. He was, like, 10 times the cost. And he had like dreadlocks and like a top hat, like literally wore like a top hat, and then it was like doing shots with them while he was tattooing. Like that would have been, I would have been like, no go. Tony Tattoo was the consummate professional. And dude, it was inexpensive. Like crazy.
That's great.
Inexpensive.
That's great.
But yeah, so I got one there. I got my compass that I wanted for a while. War Dog got the scorpion. So then after he got that, Jack sent him a pallet of like free Camacho goods to his house.
Really?
Yeah, he got the scorpion. Jim got something, and then Andy got like a demonic goat's head that he's wanted for a while.
On his forearm too.
Yeah,
like
on the inside of his forearm.
Yeah.
What was hold on. This is actually really good. I guess
I'm digging
a tight draw, but
now is this the band that goes on every cigar when you make
I'll tell you off camera, I have an idea.
Okay.
That I'm that I ran by some of the Camacho guys, and we're going to talk when they come up for a meeting in a few months. What was I saying? Tattoos.
Andy's tattoo.
Oh, my girl it's funny how women always have their man's best intentions at heart, but it could be different opinions.
Yeah.
So I am not usually, I mean, I have tattoos, but I'm not usually a risk taker. I'm usually very like, I don't know. So my girl was telling me like, dude, you should get it. Like you're having a good time down there. Like you should, as long as it's safe. And like, I sent her the guy's Instagram. She's like, I think you should go for it. War Dog is apparently too much of an adventurer. And so he like told his gal and she's like, what? And then Andy was going to get it, told the guy he was going to get it. And then his wife was like, you really shouldn't, just wait till you get back. Like get it when you get back. And he's like, all right. And he's like, I'm going to tell the guy, I'm not going to do it. But he forgot to tell the guy or didn't tell him in time. The guy comes up with like the drawing. He's like, this is good. And Andy's like, yeah, it's good. We're going to do it.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. So it was, it was just a sick time. Again, we have like a lot of pictures and stuff we'll do for the magazine. But if when they open this up for the public, which I think they're going to do, if consumers have a chance to do it, if anyone in the industry has a chance to do it, it gets my highest recommendation. The only other similar trip I've done like this is I did the Perdomo tour, but that was like a while ago. I did that probably close to 10 years ago. Okay. So like, I'm sure Nicaragua is like more built up since then. That was a cool experience. I never did the Drew Estate Safari. I heard that one's cool, but Camp Camacho gets and as a guy who hates travel, doesn't really like to fly, gets sketched out about things. I would go again. If there's like, we're going again next week, I would do it again.
How long was the bus ride from the airport
there? 4 hours.
4 hours? Okay.
So it was 4 hours. Well, it was 4 hours there, but that was like, we landed at, I don't know, like 10 a.m. on Monday. So it's like 2 hours from the airport. It's like 2 hours to the capital and then another 2 hours to the place. So it's about 4 hours.
Gotcha.
But on the way back, we were just staying in the city for the night. And that ride took closer to 5 because the traffic in Tegucigalpa, like there's no lights. People are just jammed into a city. So literally the last 3 miles of the drive to the city on Thursday, the last 3 or 4 miles probably took us an hour and a half. It was just dead. Like you just couldn't move.
Yeah.
But Jack was in the back telling stories. They need to make Jack like CEO. He was so unbelievable. CEO. So much fun, but also very much like, guys, just be, like there's drinks, but like you don't have to drink. We're not going to pressure. He was so cool the entire time. And just he, you know, obviously like we were there for the cigar part and like it's a business trip, but he made sure that everyone was also having fun, cracking jokes. Like he was just such a good time.
That's awesome.
So he really completed it as opposed to just like a, here's where the rapper is. Like,
yeah.
Because I've heard that it's always interesting to see that and fascinating, but he made it where it was almost like a vacation. He made it so much fun.
So how many, this might be a silly question. How many cigars are blended and created there? Is it all of Camacho's line?
It's all of Camacho and all of Baccarat.
And Baccarat, okay.
Yeah, they do 77,000 cigars a day.
A day?
A day. 77,000. They showed us the quality. How many
people
control.
Work in the factory?
A couple hundred at least. I have some pictures I'll show you of like the roll, you know, the rollers and like the main rolling floor was crazy. Let me see, where's a good picture of that? So like this is just the main rolling floor.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Plus they have the sorting room, they have the aging room, they have the fermentation room.
I gotta ask just for me, is AC in that, or do they have a temperature control?
Oh, yeah,
because
it was good.
Of
no, it was good. It was fine. Right. I mean, it was warm.
Is there certain rooms that have to be a certain temperature
have to
because
be like the aging room and where the Pelones are and the fermentation are warm and humid, and also you kind of have to like breathe through your mouth a little bit because the pneumonia, as it's kind of it hits, and then there's certain rooms where like it really hits you, where like you can't be in some of these rooms for like more than a minute, you start coughing,
gotcha.
It just hits you. Now I will admit, it was probably even more comfortable in there than I thought, but that was the day I was really hungover. I was sweating. That was tough. The factory tour was a little tough for me because I was, and then they had these beautiful, like, oh, it was like the old Camacho Liberty. It was like this big Churchill, like 10 years old that they gave us. I lit this thing up. It was great. And then within a few minutes, I'm like, I can't. It was like heavy. I'm like,
was it?
I was like going, like, I have to have a Gatorade. And like, it was a lot.
Jim was very, when you guys got back that week, Jim gave me a Camacho Liberty.
You got a long one?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then he gave me two other sticks. I was just kind of he was telling me what they were, I was kind of taken aback because he was just giving me them. I felt honored. And then Warren gave me a few Camachos that he had.
Well, he got extra.
Yeah, he's like swag pack. Yeah, he's like, yo, just try.
By the way,
some.
That was his
like,
first ever tattoo, which to me was crazy.
I asked him, I was like, are you a Scorpio? Like, he's like, no, my birthday's not that. I was like, all right, hey, fuck it, man. No. That's why you are the war dog,
him,
right?
Him and Big Jim, that was their first ever tattoos.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw Jim's tattoo.
Fully
that was cool.
Paid,
yeah.
Like I tipped the guy $40 and he's like, oh no. And I'm like, dude, you have like,
please. Yeah.
You can't,
you know what that goes for?
This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
I'm
know
like, this would easily be $350.
Yeah. That looks super clean. The detail.
Yeah, dude,
and everything.
It was beautiful. He did it. He did this in like an
what
hour.
Made you go with that? By the
I
way,
I always wanted it. To be honest, it's going to sound really stupid. One of my favorite shows is Forged in Fire.
Okay.
And one of the judges on there, he makes like all the historical weapons for like Hollywood. He has a compass tattoo like around here. Not this exact one, but like a different one. And I always thought, I'm like, man, that just fucking looks cool. I just really like that. So this is my first tattoo I ever got that like was just cool. And then I showed my mom. She's like, ah, your tattoos usually have meaning. I'm like, all right, mom, I'll always find my way home or some shit. Yeah. Like you make something up. Like, what do you want me to say?
So Jess has more tattoos than I do. And I didn't. There was one time she came, she's like, man, men with tattoos are just like, she's like, sleeve tattoos. I was like, I feel like I'd be too old to start that now.
Oh, dude,
but
I'm
we've been
hear.
Talking about getting, I would love to get some more tattoos, man.
Dude,
but a sleeve would look so
good. Set up, I'm going to set up Cam Camacho and you got to get one.
I'd get one.
Because he even said like, we're only exclusively using Tony tattoo. Dude, he was phenomenal. Like, I want everyone, and dude, I'm not going to tell you how much it costs because like Camacho paid for
it. Of course.
They
yeah.
told us how much it cost.
Yeah.
But I will say, if you wanted a detailed full sleeve, it would probably be cheaper for you to hire Tony Tattoo to do it in a van in the Honduran airport and fly down, get the tattoo, and leave. It would probably be cheaper than like going to a place.
Oh,
in
of course,
It would be the equivalent amount, like quality of work.
Yeah,
he did really good work.
Well, seeing Andy's tattoo and yours too,
Andy,
like the details, seeing it
yeah,
up close.
Yeah, but Andy's
is colors.
He had a color, so there's a lot of fill and a lot of shading on that. That I ended up going to bed when he was in the middle of his, because like it would now about he was doing Andy's until Andy took about 2 hours and he started at like 9:45, so he didn't finish until midnight. And I knew we had like a long. Oh, then the next day we went to a distillery where they make all this cool stuff like rum and this drink called Liche that was delicious, like this berry kind of liqueur.
Ooh.
All this stuff. Now, I will say, downsides. You couldn't come close to drinking the water. Now, they had plenty of bottle. Everywhere you went, they were giving you cold bottled water and Gatorades. When we would go in the fields or the factory, they had a guy whose job was just to stand there with a backpack of drinks. And then they had Paola, who was like one of our tour guides, like also kind of served as like translator. She was great. She was there every morning, like, and she would come after me and be like, can I get you another coffee? And then I tried to give her like $10. Like the second morning, she's like, "No, I can't." I'm like, "You don't understand. I've had 15 cappuccinos. Like, you're taking this money.
This would be a paycheck for
back
home."
Taking this money. Well, dude, I was like, by the time like we like rolled out to like go anywhere, like 9 a.m, I was
ready. Yeah.
I was ready to go.
Yeah.
But
so
you can't touch the water, even when I was showering.
That's what I'm afraid of, dude. I hear horror stories.
I had to go like that. You go like that because like you get in your mustache and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then when you went to the bathroom, like I would still wash my hands for like general cleanliness, but then always after that hand sanitizer.
Yeah,
always.
No, I've heard horror stories. Like my buddy's sister, I forgot where she went for her bachelorette party, and they just all got violently ill afterwards. Yeah. And they were just saying it's the water when you shower.
A couple of guys got it.
Because of food or the water or mixture.
You got to be careful with the food. If it's any like fresh anything that they just washed, like a salad, anything that's like not cooked produce, you have to. But I will say, you know, besides that, and I didn't really run into any problems, but I will say overall the food was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I can imagine it not being
like
that.
This bad boy. This is burning real nice.
I'm gonna post this later.
Yeah, like the one night it was just like trays of like steak and like ribs on the bone and like these potatoes. Like the food was just sensational. And I'm gonna buy one of those clay things to make that bean dip. It was really, really good. I think Jack said that he's like he like scoured his neighborhood. I think he lives in Fort Lauderdale now. He like scoured his neighborhood to find like a Honduran restaurant so he can get that dish. It's really good. if they ever do it again and they send like other people from our company, I'm going to request to go. Yeah. Again.
So how many other groups or companies did
us.
They have?
It was just us.
Oh, that's even better. It was just so when us. They do that, it's more so just so they have the, they have your, you have their full attention apparently, like essentially, right? Like yeah, when you go I down there.
Also, but like we, between us and the guys from Camacho, so it was George, Jack, Joe, who's like our rep from like Davidoff and handles a bunch of stuff. Like we filled up the compound, like, and like I said, one room had two people. So I imagine they probably do this for companies, but then if they do it for like customers, it's limited. Like this is the only amount of people you can have, because otherwise there's no more, unless yeah. people are like really doubling up on rooms. I said that if I had to share a room, I wasn't going to go on the trip, but luckily only two. I'm not doing that. I'm not sharing rooms, especially with like people were partying and hanging out. We always had like a group of guys with us, like two photographers that were really cool and really nice. Paolo was with us all the time. And then Elmer was there. Elmer was like our guy who like never spoke, but he was packing.
He's
like,
a bodyguard.
He was like our guy. Yeah. 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 I don't know if he was like ex-Honduran special forces or whatever. It was remarkable. The country was beautiful. Every morning, it like looked like it was gonna rain. It was just these weird clouds that like looked like rain, but then it didn't.
And then it just opened up.
And
like
it just opened up and beautiful. Now I will say, I guess because we were in the, and it shows you like the innovation that has to go into the irrigation process. I guess it was like the dry season. We would go to the fields. Everything was bone dry except for the tobacco.
Oh, that's
so like it was dusty. Like everything was dusty, and like you know, like you like the when you look into like the mountains, it was like all like yellow. Like you know, okay. I guess it was just the you know coming out of spring, I guess, and it was just a dry season. But the tobacco, I mean, you can see that like the tobacco was green as can be, like wow. ready to go. But then if you look at like this is like overlooking at the sex park. Nice. So it was like all well. Here I'm going to show you. These are like the bungalows.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
and they had AC
and they had AC and everything. Yeah, we did the curing barns, and this was actually the first time I've ever seen the guys like in the curing barns. Like they were like harnessed in. Like usually, like when you go to either like maybe Connecticut.
We went to Connecticut when we went. You and I, the 1 year. For Drew Estate, they were up there moving tobacco around. They weren't harnessed, but they were like positioned where they were secure. That was interesting to see. But you said they were like harnessed to the roof.
Yeah, they had harnesses and helmets and that, like the whole thing was super.
They could obviously like not like full on swing, but just like move like safely with those things on. No, they still have to walk?
They still walk and climb. It's just so like if they fall, they're good.
Okay.
And dude, like you would see like they would be like stepping on these wood beams. I think they were pine. Like they were just like shaved wood beams, and like you see these things, like they had some give to them.
Yeah.
Luckily, you know, your average Honduran is like 100 pounds, so like they were fine. But the fields were probably 45 minutes from the compound.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and funny when you look at a map, where this is in Honduras, I don't know how far it is from Esteli, Nicaragua, but Dan Lee is in a very close region to like the parts of Nicaragua where they grow tobacco. Like,
okay,
they're probably within, I would say, like 4 or 5 hours from that region.
Okay.
So that's why you're getting these kind of similarities, and you know, it's very fertile there.
What was one thing you went there that you like that kind of not blew you away, but you were just kind of like you didn't know about, or something that kind of was like pleasantly surprised you, whether it be in the factory.
For the country overall, just because, you know, the last time I went to Nicaragua was 2017. So it's been a while, because then I think 2018, 2019 is when they had the revolution problems or the uprising, what have you. And then there was COVID, obviously. But I had just heard stories about Honduras. You know, our company wasn't even allowed to go there. Like Greg was the first one to go there in like 10 years. So I didn't realize Andy, who I don't even know this because Andy looks immortal to me. I had no idea how old Andy was. Andy used to go to Honduras in like 2004 with like Rocky Patel.
Okay.
And even he was commenting when we started driving, like when we left the airport, he's like, they have built this up really, like, it's so much more built up than when he used to go. Now, he went 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But the airport is small, but it's brand new. Luckily, we got to go to that airport. The old airport in Tegucigalpa was rated, it was like top three scariest airport, because it was like just in these mountains. So you would have to, like, when you were landing, you would like kind of descend normally, and then you had to like descend really fast, like really quick, mm-hmm. to like hit the landing. It was still mountainous, so there was some turbulence on landing and when we left there, so that wasn't great. But the airport was brand new. I will say I only had one guffaw the entire week. Now I knew everything was going to be fine because I knew how loud I said it, but we came to like a. It's like a regular checkpoint. You know, they have like these kind of toll booth checkpoints with military or police there. And they were like looking at, you know, the drivers talking to them, like giving them the papers and whatever, just discuss. Like we were fine. It was just like a normal thing. But I go to Andy and I'm like, Andy, do you still have your illegal drugs? And Jim turned around and looked at me. It's like, don't fucking kidding me.
Yeah, don't fuck
I
around.
Knew the volume I said it at, where that guy was standing. Yeah. I'm like, I said it at the correct volume. But thinking back, like even Jack was like, you probably should have done that. And like Jack's been the guy, like the go-to guy. I'm like, all right. But you and Jim made a whole like impassioned speech at the end, because you know, Jim's been going to Nicaragua for like 10 years. You know, sometimes he'd go 5-6 times a year. And he's like, I have never felt like safer and more comfortable like on one of these trips. DR is a little different because it's like a tourist, it's very touristy, so you stay at like resorts when you go there. But even the hotel we stayed at in Tegucigalpa, this is like probably the hotel that like, if the president were to visit Honduras, this is where he's staying.
Gotcha.
I'll show you a picture from my balcony there.
I felt like it was also a really good bonding experience. Like I know we've only traveled like where we could drive, and I feel like there were still moments where we were able to bond, but you guys are all traveling together, experience the same thing.
This was the view from my balcony on like the 8th floor of this hotel. Wow. No, dude, it was like we all, like me and Wardog are like, we're taught, like we and Andy, like all of us, we got a lot closer and we got to understand each other more. So it was an amazing bonding experience. And then we actually, a bunch of us emailed Brad, like the day we were coming back, just like thanking him, like this is such, and he's like, oh, it's my pleasure. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. And then he made fun of me. He's like, I didn't know if the tattoo was a great idea. And I'm like, you gotta live a little.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, like just the biggest shout out in the world to Jack and Joe and George and everyone at Camacho. Shout out to our, you know, Jim and everyone for like letting us experience this. It was, I was having anxiety for literally months. I was in a, even like my relationship with the girl I'm seeing has like gotten better since I got back, because we only started dating like
right before,
like right, like a couple months, like a month and a half before. And I was just in such panic mode about this trip that even she, I don't know if she even got the best vibe for me. But then once I got back, now it's been, you know, it's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's
dude, it lightened me up about like future travel. I'm like, I was able to do this. I only had to take like a little part of a Xanax for the flights. And I was actually very good on the flights. And I'm like, I'm actually going to like start traveling now. I think I got over a lot of my past issues. Because and that's
probably who you traveled with too.
Yeah, they you know were so like, on top of it. You needed to stop at, you know, Jim needed to get like allergy medicine. They stop at a farmacia, like whatever you needed.
Yeah.
And I will say, by the last day, we were all getting a little loose with the Spanish, trying to think like we could
do this.
Because you don't want to insult them, but it's like, do you want me to say hola, or do you want me to say it like with like hola? Like, do you want me to like how? How are you best? Yeah. Like, you know, I don't want to insult you by throwing on an accent, but also like it's the dialect. Yeah. So it was like if somebody comes to America and they're like, hello, how are, like, do you want that? Or you want them to try to do like, what do you, whatever is best. So Warren, I think, speaks a little bit, but I don't think Jack spoke any, and it was hilarious because he's been on the ship like 5 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he had to Google like a bunch of stuff to like he would like Google stuff, like, you know, Google Translate stuff, and then show it to Elmer. And Elmer like, I know.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know what you're fucking saying.
Yeah, what you're trying to get. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
But no, it was outrageously good.
And how long has Camp Camacho been around for?
They didn't do it for a while. I mean, okay. I know.
Or that facility, has that been, that's been there
I
since
they... I want to say it's been there a couple years, but it's also, I asked him, because it was really nice. Like, and yeah. From a guy who's been to Nicaragua a few times, I've never stayed anywhere close to, like, this nice. And even Jim said, this is nicer than, like, Jim used to stay in, like, the nice hotel in Esteli. He's like, this was way more comfortable than the nicest hotel in Esteli. There was no... Like, the only thing I saw... One big spider in my bathroom one morning.
Okay.
It was, but it looked like a spider. Like, I mean, it was creepy because it was like a big, he was like probably that big. It's like a big guy.
Damn.
But it didn't look like a biting spider. It was more like he's just hanging out here. We saw some like geckos and stuff too running around, which I guess you see in Florida also.
Yes. Yeah.
We did see, we saw some horses like, you know, floating around in the field, some cows. And then we did see a guy with a cart with like two oxen, like on the road when we were over by the field, just like in the middle of the road, with like a cart with two oxen. I will say driving there, I feel like only the US and maybe like England and Canada, everywhere else I have driven in the world, like there's no like yellow line. Like you, if there's no one coming this way and there's someone slow, you just go over.
Okay.
It's everywhere.
But how are people driving down there? Are they not, or is it wild? I
mean, we didn't get into an accident. We were in a big bus. We were smoking on the bus the whole time. You know, they had a cooler they had Tonya, which is the Nicaraguan beer. They had something Salve something, which was like the Honduran beer. Full bar. There was like a roulette wheel. It was like a roulette shot wheel where you throw the thing and then you know roulette, mm-hmm. and then you, whatever you pick, you got to drink the shot. But like I said, for someone who doesn't really drink, it was not like everyone shit faced all the time. It was like people were having some nice drinks and just having a nice time. It wasn't like a crazy party at one night it was, but I wasn't hanging out for that night. But yeah, and I asked him, I'm like, when the executives from like Davidoff, like when the Swiss, is this where they stay? He's like, yeah, they love it here.
Really?
Yeah, it's really nice, dude.
It's a different experience for everybody, you know? Like, I mean, you could stay at a nice fancy hotel and you're going to feel comfortable, right? In something fancy and all. But this is an experience. Like, I didn't realize you guys were literally like a hop, skip, and a jump away from where everything goes down.
Literally, I'm going to show
you. You know, like, it's just, so.
I took 480 pictures while I was there and video. I actually probably should delete a lot of them because I set them up on my. So, like, here's like the compound.
Nice.
That building over the wired fence is the factory to the
left. Okay.
Like, it's literally just over the fence. And it's funny because at like when it's like quitting time, you just see like this wave of people come out and like get on their bikes and
just go home, vroom
off.
I have one important question. Whose idea was it to make the full house?
Yeah, it was Jack.
That was Jack. I feel like that had your mm-hmm. Okay. I will say
I thought my thing was I thought me and Jim had the best like. Everyone else didn't like. Everyone was overacting. Me and Jim got what the thing was.
I love Warren, but his part was like, "Are you ready to do it?" And then he hopped into character.
He had it.
It looked like yours was, "Oh, they caught Nick off camera." Then when you did the camera look, I was like, "No, he planned that all along."
What I should have done, and I didn't think about it till after, is I should have done a glasses down.
Oh yes,
man, I was so mad afterwards. I'm like, should have done a glasses.
It's like when Dennis and Always Sunny. God damn, I should have popped my shirt off when he's running that round. I could see you being like, but, damn it.
And then everyone got like nicknames.
Nice.
You know, like Brendan was B Money, War Dog, Andy's the Goat.
What was Bobby's?
I don't know why. I don't know why Jack started calling him this. And I kind of feel bad, but it is funny. He was like doing, every time we would go in something in the fields and they'd be like, hey, do you want to try like planting or doing this? Bobby was always the first one. He would like do a good job. He was always working. Like that entire day, he was working. And then Jack looks at him, he's like, and someone says something about Baccarat, and Jack just looks at him, he's like, oh, baby Bobby Baccarat. So that's just baby Bobby Baccarat. And then, Andy was the goat because of the tattoo. Mm-hmm. And then...
Who were you? What was your name?
Give me one.
Really?
Which I was kind of mad about.
I'm like, come on.
Nothing came up naturally. Really? They call, like,
okay. I mean, Warren, you're really good with nicknames.
Warren calls me the skipper. Okay. Just like, but he called me that before.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Before the trip.
War Dog sounds.
But dude, War Dog was.
That's a great name.
Because he was hanging out, and he like never got trashed, but he was hanging out. He was doing the long haul every night. He was like, oh, I'm only having like two beers, and then like he was there till like 4 in the morning.
Yeah, it's because he's 25 too. You know, like that might help out. You know, but no, but I mean, you still have to have that mentality. On surface, he looks like prim and proper, but
he looks like a sweet boy.
Yeah,
he's the dog.
If his girlfriend is saying no to get a tattoo, like, then no.
Andy was a lot of fun too. I got really close to Andy. I mean, Brendan I had like known for a while. You know, me and Brendan go back to like store time, like when he was working in North Carolina and I was in Whippany. I had met him a few times, so me and Brendan go way back.
Nice.
And then like even like getting closer to Jim, and you know, kind of understanding, you know, his ideas about things. I want to say, in terms of like hanging out, Bobby might have been the VIP, because everyone had like at least one night, but then everybody had like a night where like I'm chilling. And again, no one got, it wasn't like drunk, like hammered. Yeah,
it was
like
just the
crazy
consistency of
it was
drinking.
Just like the consistency of like hanging out until like the wee hours.
I can't do hair of the dog. Were you ever a hair of the dog person? I never was.
No,
yeah, I
could tried
never
to
do it
in the bud with like coffee and stuff.
Yeah, I could never do
that. That factory tour was tough. But Bobby hung out each night. The last night, him, Jeff, and Jack, I don't think they went to bed. They weren't like, again, they weren't part. It was like they were hanging out until like 4, and then they're like, all right, probably call it a night. And then it was like, you know, like the sun rises in like an hour. And so they just stayed up. And then I'm drinking coffee, and then like Jack comes out, and I'm like, oh man, you're up already? He's like, oh, we didn't sleep. And I think Bobby went to bed for like an hour.
I could never, ever, ever do that.
Yeah.
Ever.
It was a radical time. But, and it was, like I said, it was the nice touches. It was the barista. It was the, you know, the dinners and like how they were set up, and like everything was planned where there was like no real rush. If there was like one more activity a day, I would have been like, all right, you know.
Yeah.
But it was literally every day was planned perfectly, where there was plenty of time, you know,
in between activities and then kind of
like
the
factory,
resting.
And then we had like an hour to chill. Nice. And then we went out to lunch and like drove around town. We got back at like 3, and then we'd have nothing planned until like 5.
Nice.
When like
yeah.
dinner and the tattoo guy were coming. The only thing I loved the distillery tour. It was really cool. Ooh. But my only thing with that is what I would have rathered, and this might've just been me, because the two flights in the day was like tough. It was tough.
Yeah.
So what I would have rathered is no distillery Thursday morning, drive to the airport, take an early afternoon flight to Miami, stay overnight in Miami, 9 a.m. Friday, first flight out, you're home by, you know.
What'd you guys do instead? What was?
Instead, we, Thursday afternoon, we drove to Tegucigalpa. It took us 5 hours to get there. As soon as we got to the hotel, we like had dinner, and then like everyone just went to bed. And then the next morning, we left at like 8, I think, another 2 hours, because our flight wasn't until like 12:30. So we got to the airport at like 10. Hung out there. Of course, you always do all your gift shopping in the airport.
Of course, yeah.
The only thing I didn't get in the airport was, for her, I got her a bottle of Leche from that distillery, and then my dad, I got him a bag of coffee from Oscar's coffee shop. Everything, like my nieces and nephews, my mom, it was airport stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And honestly, like, not that they were expensive, but like if I had gotten any of this stuff like in Dan Lee, it would have been significantly cheaper. Like the airport, it was like American prices.
Yes, yeah.
Like I got my mom like a hand carved like wooden mug, and it was like $35. I'm like, so this should have cost me $4.
Yes.
And so then flight was at like 12:50. We landed at like, so it was 2 hours. So that would make it call it 3 o'clock. And then we were 2 hours behind, I think, because of the daylight savings.
Mm-hmm.
So we really got like, we really landed at 5 p.m. And then like our next flight was like 6:50, but then that got delayed until like 7:50. And then we had to go through like customs, which was not bad. But then like we had to go recheck everything. You had to go through the whole airport process again. You don't get to just like get to your next gate. We had to go through all that again.
That's annoying.
And then, yeah, so we didn't, I mean, we didn't land until 9:45, 10 o'clock. And we've been up, we've been moving since 7 a.m. Yeah. the previous day. So I think that splitting that up and then doing a night in Miami. And also, as much as, you know, I loved Honduras. I really loved everything about it. I would go back in a heartbeat. But another night in Miami, it's just like, oh, well, like, we're back in the States now. I know I can, like, use the water. I have like, my charger.
The comfortability.
Like,
whatever.
Yeah, the comforts are just, like, being back. And also, like, anything goes wrong, the plane is delayed. Or it's like, all right, I'm here. Like, I can get back somewhere. If, like, there was only four planes leaving Honduras that day, if something happened, like, you're stuck there.
Yeah.
In Miami, it's like, worst case scenario, I'll get a car and I'll drive home. You know what I mean? You figure it out. You're home. You know, you're back in the States. But that being said, the distillery tour was really, really cool. They have all these, you know, the brass things, and it goes into other stuff. And the guy was telling, it was, and it was also funny because Paola was our translator for, Paola and George were our translator for a lot of the tour. Mostly with, because then we had a guy, I can't remember his name, it was Jack though. I have to get his name. I think his name was Manuel. He was like, he's like the head of operations down there. So he was like our field guide and our factory guide. But anything else, bus drivers, gas station, waiters, anything like that, George and Paolo would translate for us. They were having a tough time translating at the distillery because it was like all these weird terms that, like, I guess when you learn English, like, you don't think to, like, learn these words. So actually Jim ended up translating just by, like, knowing how things all, yeah. are distilled. He was able to be like, oh, so it's like this thing, this, yeah. this does this. And then she translated, like, the description. And he was like, yes, that exactly.
How much was Jim loving the distillery?
Oh, he loved it. Yeah. Absolutely loved it. Jim was, I don't think I've ever seen him have, he loved this trip as well. And this is a guy who, and then he was telling us stories about when he was stuck in Nicaragua, like, the night of, like, the Civil War starting. And they had to, like, get him out. Like, it was a whole thing. He was on this, I think it was on Cigar Safari with, like, it was a whole crazy thing.
I feel like he's lived a thousand lives.
He's
lived
and he's in, you know, he's only like, I think he's, you know, he's not that old. He's only like in his mid 40s. I don't even think he's old. He's like kind of like
early 40s, right?
He's like, yeah, he's like, I think he's like, he's technically,
he said he's on the cusp of a millennial.
Yeah. So he's like, he's like one of us.
Yeah.
Gooble gobble. Yeah. We'll make you one of us.
That's awesome, man. I'm happy you guys went. Honestly,
now,
it seems so cool.
I wanted to do this whole episode in my Honduran soccer jersey that I bought at the airport, but not only did I forget it, even though I bought double XL and using XL, it was a little snug. I should have bought triple.
Yeah.
But they had, it was $25 and the material is good. If I only got a size bigger, they had that and like Nicaraguan baseball jerseys in the airport for literally like $25.
Really?
Like nice, like jersey material, but.
Like, did it have the Nicaraguan players on them? Honduran players? Sorry, yeah. Honduran players?
No, it was just like I don't know.
A typical Honduran jersey.
I don't think it was like an official license, but it was like a cool jersey.
Nice.
That my goal is to lose weight to be able to fit into it.
There we go. I mean, you can do it.
Yeah. But, yeah.
This is great, by the way. I'm not just saying it. I'm, what size was it you said?
Just Toro.
Toro? Mm-hmm. Yep. Perfect size.
So,
and you made a box of these, right?
Yeah. So I have a box of 10, so I have 8 left. So I'm going to let them sit for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, there it is. That was the whole trip. So
appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of new stuff coming up, and I know you probably have a lot of new guys that you're going to be interviewing soon.
I'm trying to get the Rum Brothers up here, to be honest with you, and a few other things. But yeah, we've done the interviews here and there. Kind of need to reach out to more. We did
We have a lot of guys that Jim set up at PCA
to come up here.
Come up here, and some of them. I'm going to go down to the one guy, Mike. I know I'm going to pronounce his name, but he owns Cigar Hustler. He does Pakistani.
Nice. Okay, nice.
That guy,
where are they located?
They're in Florida.
Nice.
But he has a big podcast. We're going to get him up on ours. Awesome. And then I might go down on his. That's going to be upcoming. But I know a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
That
did you hear anything about how PCA was this year? I tried following
it.
It
was
like,
a little, they said it was a little slow. Not a ton of new releases, but you're kind of in this weird thing where like the last PCA was 8 months before, and then TPE was the month before.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like a mulligan year. We'll see how next, I think it's next March is the next one, and that one's going to be in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I was happy not to go on this one because it was literally 4 days after my trip, but
I would love to
a
go
lot of the
year.
Work that Jim did was like really cool, like you know, a lot of private label stuff. Yeah. So like next year I'm going to push to like.
Yeah, so I'm sitting next to Guy Fieri having cigars with John.
I'll tell you off
you
camera
know,
what we got going on with Guy.
Nice, okay.
A lot of stuff going on there. I'm not spoiling anything, but... But yeah, so thanks for watching, guys. We'll have a more normal episode next week.
Yes, March was
you were gone early March,
and then you were gone the next week. Your interview with David Spirit was awesome.
You're cool.
Yeah, he was cool. I feel like you guys had a really good rapport between one another, and I just loved hearing his stories too. So
yeah, Dave was a nice guy. But yeah. Thank you all very much for watching. Make sure to check us out on Instagram, Facebook. Are we on X?
I don't think so.
We need to get on X. We need to start putting a lot. We could put all kinds of stuff on X.
Yeah.
And keep listening to the podcast. Comment, like, and subscribe. And as always, keep it lit.